Trigger warning, this is the Free of Creeds Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, on the corner of Trashview and Natavista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 360 degrees Fahrenheit. To keep a sin flood of statism out of your head, can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, James?
Feeling it.
And by the way, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except government. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we're here. And I'm ready.
We're here. We're doing it. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah,
Freedom
this is the
Fiends.
Welcome back. And you know, this is the part that you get to hear. You don't get to hear me and James conspiring between the breaks or before the show. You know, that's when the real action happens. So we were talking about breaking into this interesting news story in Utah. You want to lead with that?
Sure. We got, this local hero, Alex Wubbles, a Utah nurse, was arrested for disobeying the order of a police officer. There was a guy who was a truck driver, and he was in an accident. And the police officer went there to try and forcibly get a blood sample from the accident victim. And according to hospital policy, for them to take the patient's blood, the patient has to be either accused of a crime, they need to be, under arrest. They need a warrant, there to be some sort of action, that proves a necessity for blood. They can't just, according to the hospital policy, they don't just, take patient's blood, or they need the patient's consent. That was the other one. And so this patient is unconscious, of course, can't give consent. The patient can't, there was no warrant. The patient was not accused of a crime, was not being tried for anything. So, of course, the nurse doing her job, and she had 10 different supervisors, apparently, backing her up in her telling the police officer no. And in the video of the arrest, she has one of the supervisors on speakerphone, actually, telling her, hey, why are you trying to bully my nurse? She's just the messenger. This is policy. We can't give it to you. And the officer loses his mind, when he's told to stop bullying the nurse, and decides at this point that he's just going to arrest her, just arrest the messenger, because, trying to follow hospital policy. She would have done this. She probably would have lost her job if she would have complied with this officer's order too, because it's against hospital policy for them to. And I believe it's like illegal, really. The hospital policy is like based on the law.
Allegedly.
You have this power-hungry police officer that decides to just grab this poor nurse and drag her out, and she's, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Of course. And, the officer's just slamming her around, pulling her around, cuffing her up, throwing her in the cop car.
You make it sound disrespectful and dangerous.
It was very dangerous.
Yeah.
Nurse is there on duty saving lives. You know, like, taking away a nurse from a hospital could cost lives. You know, nurses are there, they're doing their job, saving people. You know, what if they needed that, you know, needed that nurse?
That's
you
know, true.
You know, this officer, by doing this, could have cost people lives. Luckily, I don't believe there was any lives lost due to this, but it could have cost lives.
And this officer is Salt Lake City detective and police phlebotomist Jeff Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. Mm-hmm. And he was filmed doing this kind of rough handling that you just described.
Yes.
I'm looking at all these videos in front of me here. And there's nothing, like, here we are in the 21st century, James, and we can just see right in front of us video evidence of people such as police phlebotomist Jeff Payne. There's a mouthful, huh?
Right.
I mean,
there's a mouthful.
Yeah, so he made it, he busted his butt to make it all the way up to detective and police phlebotomist, which is you know, an interesting job opening. Like, hey, there's an opening for police phlebotomist, in case you need that. And so now he's got that power, you know, and like, you know, when you make it through, I don't exactly know how many flaming hoops and how much barbed wire he had to crawl under to get to just detective alone. And in all the weird places, you know, Salt Lake City, isn't that like one of those really super-duper religious occult centers or something?
Well, here's a sad thing, though, is that, you know, when Officer Payne showed up, the nurse Wubbles had called for, you know, hospital security to be there. She'd called them, you know, preemptively because she felt personally that he was hostile right from the get-go, right when he got there. So, of course, hospital security's there. And the real sad thing is hospital security did nothing to prevent this. You know, they did not prevent this from happening. And that is kind of sad to see that. They you know, in the video, you can see them standing idly by those, you know, the university police and security while allowing this arrest to take place.
Oh, I want to see their names and their Facebook pages also.
It's really sad to see, you know, they say that there's, you know, it's just a few bad apples. But when you have, you know, this obvious just, you know, misuse of power, and then all the, you know, other police officers and security standing by and just watching, you know, while the the university police and security forces that were there that responded to her call, you know, to have them present during this time when, you know, Officer Payne was demanding that she violate the rights of her patient. You know, they just stood by idly by and watched as this happened. I mean, they didn't really do anything to prevent it. They really didn't do anything. They could have stepped in and stopped this from happening. And, you know, so she did end up getting released with, you know, no charges, of course, because, I mean, what could they charge her with?
Resisting arrest, of course.
You know, of course, they always like to do that. They'll arrest you for resisting arrest. They seem to love doing that one. That's the newest. What are you under arrest for? Resisting arrest. Oh, well, what was the original arrest for? You know, like, what was that arrest you were resisting?
That was just the spurious, you know, that's the question I had for you, James. Like, what is the problem with just, why not simply obey the police, you know?
Well, I mean, that would have violated her patient's rights. She had every right to stand her ground and, you know, stick up for her patient's rights. And that's what a good doctor, a good nurse does. I mean, there's such a thing as, you know, doctor-patient confidentiality, stuff like that, which, I mean, it seems to absolutely drive police wild that, you know, doctors care about their patients' medical privacy. Police hate that.
There's even mandated reporting. Something I'm kind of really honestly against. I like just like voluntary reporting. Do you know what mandated reporting is?
So I think we might need to talk about that a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're just like, when you're a healthcare professional, that includes myself as a licensed acupuncturist, you are mandated to report to the authorities when anyone plans to majorly hurt themselves or hurt someone who is either a child or really old. You know, any of those three. Themselves, or a child, or someone really old. Or if they really are going to be actually violent to someone. And some practitioners,
and how do you know?
Well, I mean, because the client is there and they're talking about it to you. They are, yeah, in front of you and they're saying, I'm just going to do this. I'm gonna kill him. And that's all it takes. And now I have a recording of me saying, I'm going to kill him. And someone's going to take that out of context and sort of sew it into, you know.
There you go, out of context fiends.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to out of context fiends, yeah. So you understand what I'm saying. But that's mandated reporting. And I am more into actually voluntary reporting. I'm thinking, you know, like, oh, really? You're thinking you're going to off yourself. You know what? That's your business, because you own yourself, actually.
I'm into not snitching. That's what I'm into.
Yeah, I am not snitching in all of my business deals, you know, so you don't need any type of medical license for that. It's just the general non-snitch approach.
The general non-snitch approach is probably the pretty good. They should really just have, you know, that should be the policy for all jobs. Just stop snitching.
And what if we just had all the blood samples just freely available for everyone, so that cop just could just go somewhere else to get that guy's blood sample?
You know, that's
obviously ridiculous.
That's the real thing, is that, you know, they really wanted just to have this cop's there. This is the kicker in this whole situation, is that the patient in question happened to be a reserve officer himself.
Reserve for where? For that police department?
For a police department. He was a reserve police officer.
Interesting. This guy had an agenda to get this one guy.
Yeah.
Somehow. For some reason.
There's some reason why this guy really wanted it. I don't know what that, you know, the guy did to grind this guy's gears, but he really wanted to get him. You know, he really wanted to get him. I don't know what it was about. You know, but the police station has since released a statement thanking this nurse for sticking up for the rights of their officer, which is not something they'd probably do if he was, general public.
When we come back, we'll see how far we can milk this story.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Welcome back. Back with the Freedom Beans. I'm Darrow. That's James.
Yes. Back talking about this incident with Nurse Wubbles and her standing up for the rights of her patient. And, you know, it's interesting to see what, you know, the response was, though. Even though this, you know, we watching the footage, it's blatantly obvious overstep of what, you know, the blood draw program's supposed to be, you know, because they have policy. The officers know the policy. So they couldn't really, you know, the officers knew the policy, knew the protocol. And here's the thing. This guy, this officer, guy's name? Payne.
Payne. Literally, Payne. Like Payne, you know?
Like Max Payne? Well, he was, you know, suspended from the blood draw program. That was what all they did.
That's pretty hard for a phlebotomist detective, because phlebotomy is the drawing of blood, you know, so... Yeah, that's kind of like they're saying. So that whole thing that you do where you get blood from people, yeah, you're not doing that now.
Yeah, but that's all he did. He's just a regular. He's still on the force. He didn't go on administrative leave or anything. Like, he didn't get his paid vacation. Like when most times when police officers do something that oversteps what they're supposed to do, they usually, you know, go on administrative leave and aren't out still, you know, harassing and intimidating the general public. But this officer was just taking off the blood draw program. He's still, you know, out there doing this to people, which I think is kind of sad, personally.
I wonder how much this whole thing was, you know, there's so much backstory. Like that other guy, the truck driver, was previously a police officer.
Well, reserve
police officer, and so this guy is going after his blood.
So just to make sure people know what a reserve police officer is, a reserve police officer is like, they're basically volunteer cops. They're people who, you know, they're sworn in and all that. They have, you know, but they generally have to, like, purchase their own gun. Kind of thing. They're not, like, really provided that kind of stuff. It's not like being a regular police officer, but what they're there for is, like, if the police, you know, police station has, you know, like, for example, a sporting event or a, you know, at the local high school or whatever, or, like, a county fair or something like that that needs extra police officer presence, they bring in the reserve police officers for situations like that when they need more than what their force can, you know, handle on its own, to provide basically kind of like almost glorified security guards in a way, but they are still, you know, police officers. They're, you know, not full-time police officers. He was a full-time truck driver in this situation, but he also worked as a reserve police officer. Something a lot, you see a lot of, like when you say you go to a county fair and you see the police officers that walk around, but they look really, really old, and you're like, wow, those people look like they're way too old to be cops. They're probably, you know, retired people who, you know, do reserve police officer work, you know, in their retirement. You see a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of retired people. You know, you don't get the same training and all that, but it's basically, that's what they are. You know, they're not, this guy was not like a full-time cop or anything like that, but the guy probably knew the guy, you know, through his, you know, volunteering to help out the police department in times when they needed extra people.
And you can only imagine what was the motivator for this guy to go after this other volunteer policeman's blood.
Yeah,
what would motivate him to do that? Really? I mean, like, he can't get his blood? Okay, now he's got to go after the nurse. He needs someone. He's got to get someone, okay?
He really wanted to go after people. He really did.
And then what did all the security at the hospital do? They stood there looking at him like, I don't want to deal with this guy, man. I'm just not being paid enough for this, man. I'm just not being paid enough for this.
No, and actual, like, university police people there, too. Like, it wasn't just, like, security guards there. They had actual university police officers present watching this arrest take place.
And that's coming, too. Soldier, you know, doesn't want to step up and, you know, potentially deal with the wrath of another soldier.
No.
Because it's kind of like a war, you know. That's the way I look at it.
That's the way they feel.
And that's why I said I look at it that way. they're in an imaginary role play kind of cosplay.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
We're back.
No.
And we figured it all out.
Well, we figured something. So, yeah. Basically, if you happen to be a struggling nurse and you want to take a stand and you're ready to, and you feel brave enough, I'm really happy that you do so. And if you happen to be a detective phlebotomist and you happen to just randomly want to arrest someone, I think that it's likely you're a dangerous person. And that's why there are decentralized systems of units of value moving around that I'm hoping can make those kinds of things go away. Do you know what I'm alluding to, James?
No, maybe we should have some sort of other way to...
introduce the subject?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that these police officers really just grind my gears. It's hard for me. You know, it's hard for me to see this kind of stuff over and over and over again.
Now, what is it? Like, what happens to you psychologically, physically, when you watch these videos?
Well, I mean, I watch them, like, every day. Every day there's a new thing like this.
Yeah, like, I know. So, I have some to are skip more, past them. But you actually watch them.
I do.
What
is
it
I do.
To you?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. You know, it's pretty bad to subject yourself to that. It's like watching horror movies, but they're real. Is kind of what it's like.
Like a snuff film.
It's like watching a horror movie that's real. And that's the worst part about it is there's nothing you can really do about it because these people are the ones with the guns. They have all the guns. And you know, they'll shoot you if you try and resist them. They'll put you in a cage if you speak out against them. You know, it just seems like it's like there's nothing you can really do about it except for speak out as little as you can to not piss them off too much. Because it seems like if you speak out in front of them, they, you know, will slap you with, you know, disorderly conduct or whatever they'll do. You know, if anytime you question what the police officer's doing in front of them, of course they're going to arrest you for it. You know, but at least we do have, like, a mechanism like this to where we can, you know, talk about the abuses of power that the police have and that the police do on a regular basis. You know, this is not like an isolated incident. The reason why this is newsworthy really is only because of how the nurse stood up for the rights of her patient, which makes it like an amazing story of someone who actually did stand up to the system and luckily came out the other side still alive, which makes the story of this nurse amazing, in my opinion.
And you're not alone in just watching these videos over, like, you know, as they come through your feed on Facebook, as they come past your nose. You're not the only one who watches video after video and read blog after blog about this. And what do you think makes you want to keep watching that? That's my question.
Well, it's always better to know what's going on than not, in my opinion.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
It's better to know what's going on. It's better not be kept in the dark in situations like this, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I could be horribly wrong. You never know.
And I think it's a good exercise dating all the way back to the Stoics of ancient Greece, where you actually visualize negative things and see how do you emotionally deal with them. So then just in case you ever have to deal with them in real life, well, then someone like James Ken and someone like me who shirks away from it and can't even watch Game of Thrones, well, you know. So, can't even watch Game of Thrones.
No.
Can't even watch The Sopranos. That was
The Sopranos. Violent. That was such a good show.
Wasn't it the great opening song? You know.
But yeah, so you know, you can't watch that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess I subject myself to it.
I watch Rick and Morty. That's pretty violent, you know.
Well, it's kind of,
yeah. it's funny. But it's comedy, though.
That's funny.
You're right. What happened to this Utah nurse is not comedy. No. Because that was expensive and time-consuming and dangerous. She's one of the ones who survived, you know.
Yeah, so. It's that's what makes it a really great story. She came out the other end still alive, unscathed. She didn't get, you know, roughed up too bad. I mean, she did get definitely, you know,
she was
assaulted
scared.
And scared for her life, and definitely there's emotional damage that came from that. You know, you can't, especially with, you know, most people who, you know, your average person. I don't mean to say she's the average person. I don't really know her. But just saying, if she was, say she's the average person who doesn't really understand the level of, you know, coercion that goes into being a police officer, the level of, you know, doing things like this. I mean, how much stuff like this actually does happen, where you could kind of tell in the video she was very confused. She had no idea that something like this could happen to her. And
she hasn't been... That's the thing about a nursing student, and then once you become a nurse and now you're just busy being a nurse, like what, some 50, 60, 70 hours a week, where is the time for you to study anything that's not either what you need to know for what you're doing all the time, or what would uplift you just like so that you don't want to off yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. What's it? So that would not be including the videos that you're watching, James. That's not going to help someone who's like in that predicament. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, I think, and that's my colleagues are unprepared. Like that too.
Yeah, that's why she was unprepared.
Yeah.
She was unprepared for that, and I think that she's going to suffer for, you know, the emotional damage for being unprepared for that.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It's really sad that she has to, you know, suffer that, and I hope her the best. I hope that everything turns around and is wonderful for her, and she doesn't have to ever deal with something like this again for her entire life.
Yeah.
Because, you know... Luckily, there's not very many cops. There's way more of us. So the likelihood of a second incident like this in her lifetime is fairly low. So I hope for her the best. And, you know, I really do.
And I hope
it's amazing that this woman just so bravely just stood there while this police officer was just so rude and so hostile with her,
yeah,
and stood up and stood for her patient's rights, even though she totally didn't see what was coming next. She totally didn't see that part coming.
She did not understand, but, no. And maybe the security guards who were standing around and the other cops who were standing around,
though. They
probably did know that that's some of what they do on their spare time, is they've studied this too, whether in person like the cops or maybe like... just as a hobby, like all the InfoWars watchers and all the people who get their alternative media from not fake news, basically.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not saying InfoWars is not fake news, by the way. I'm saying that a variety of, you know, raw video sources could give you possibly a somewhat informed view of the actual dangers of interfacing with a police officer in the United States today. And that's right. Something that this specific nurse was missing. But everyone else in the room wasn't. They were just watching. Well, and being like, oh.
The police officers knew what was coming. And I bet you that some of them, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can make this this claim. But I bet you there was some of them there that were just wishing that they were the ones that were going to do what they knew what was coming to this woman. I guarantee that you have those police out there that watch the videos like this and just fantasize about being the cop.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty much it.
Because you always see people rushing to the defense saying, oh, no, that's just normal procedure. That's perfectly fine. You know, police are supposed to do stuff like that. I'm a police officer. What the police officer did was you always see that in the comment section on all these videos that pop up across the Facebook feed. You know, you always see that. You
I think they pay that person so. to consistently pop up and write that little phrase. They have specific people in the little government rooms, you know.
That's the one thing, though, is don't argue with those people.
Don't feed the trolls.
Yeah. Thanks for the pocket alibi. See, there are people out there, and their critical thinking mechanisms are damaged because they actually don't understand logical fallacies or, more before that, just how to simply define your terms or the actual cause and effect of actions that are being chosen. You know, that guy, mm-hmm. Officer Payne, you know, we could hope that he learns the cause and effect of his actions, and maybe to make restitution, just quits and starts an agorist business where he actually benefits, you know, the community and people around him.
Well, we can only hope that he grows a conscience, and goes off and quits the police forces. We can hope that every police officer grows a conscience and quits the police force and goes off and does something productive with their life that isn't, you know, beating people down and extorting them for, you know, money and raising revenue for the state apparatus. We can really hope that police officers will quit their jobs and become good, upstanding citizens.
I think in order for that to happen, there's something first that has to happen, which is there have to be a whole lot more security companies just stepping up to take the actual, to do real security for people, because that's what's actually missing. I mean, unless you're extremely wealthy or something. Yeah. Real security is what people want, and the cops are being paid with this, I would say, coerced funds, you know, taxation thing. So,
and they're really great at filling out insurance reports, too.
Well, I mean, like all, it's like a situation where, you know, those who take the money, that's the ultimate power. And then from there, however they, you know, discern, like, to train people, like cops, and to train people to do these things. This is the situation we're in where a modern-day cop does that because that's what this monopoly presently wants to have happen. Not just because this guy was a bit unhinged. This is what was desired. It was desired to divide people, to make these soldiers unaccountable so that a bunch of them will step up and do crazy things like this Officer Payne.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that he doesn't have to hear this, but yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Well, I really hope Officer Payne does listen to this and realizes that he should quit his job.
That's a special message from James to you, Officer Payne.
Quit your job.
Yeah. And start over. You can actually benefit people.
Well.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms. Mom.
Freedom Fiends are back.
We're dedicating this whole hour to this courageous nurse in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
So, not to bury the lead.
This is the Freedom Fiends?
Yeah. Not to bury the lead, this is the Freedom Fiends, and you're still listening to the radio.
You still got us on, still listen to us. But what were we burying? We're burying something?
Alex Webbles, the Utah hospital nurse who was forcibly arrested for disobeying unconstitutional police orders. We're talking about her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. You know, because there was actually a Supreme Court case on these blood draw things. Like, if they suspect them of, like, a DUI or something like that, They can't just go get a blood draw. Like, there has to be something. There has to be something there that gives them the, you know, probable cause and stuff like that. They can't just go out and willy nilly draw people's bloods that are involved in car wrecks to go after them for DUI, which is what it seems like they were trying to do here. but there was a Supreme Court case about this very same thing. I'm trying to find the actual case here. I'm not exactly sure of the exact case, but they did rule this a number of years ago that the Supreme Court, Missouri v. McNeely, that was the case. McNeely was stopped by a Missouri police officer for speeding and crossing the center line and declined to take the breath test to measure his blood alcohol content. He was arrested and taken to a hospital for blood testing, of course. The officer never attempted to get a search warrant. McNeely, of course, refused to consent to the blood test, but the officer, you know, directed the lab technician to take the sample, much like we saw here with this Utah nurse here, except, you know, it was a slightly different situation. But, you know, there was no consent given. They had no warrant. The guy wasn't even under arrest for, you know, for DUI, you know. And so, of course, McNeely's blood alcohol content in this case tested well above the legal limit, and he was charged with DUI. But the case was overturned on Fourth Amendment grounds because, you know, he did not consent. He did not, there was no warrant involved. And, you know, so that's the kind of thing. So there is Supreme Court precedent that you can't just go and take people's blood.
Now, why would it be a good thing that they just, why would it be a good thing that people just can't just barge in and, you know, take samples of your stuff and make sure that you're a good boy?
Well, yeah. Maybe because it's the Fourth Amendment.
I thought it was a good thing because victimless crime is a huge problem. And all this kind of thing. Like, literally, this nurse was just taken in, and there was no victim except for, unfortunately, Officer Payne's ego or whatever it was that,
well,
you know, made it like that. He chose to do that.
The thing is that the guy in the wreck was the guy who was unconscious was actually the victim of someone else swerved into his lane and collided with him head on. So, you know, the guy was a victim here, and he's being subjected to this. You know, he was being subjected. He was the victim in the situation. He had done nothing wrong other than being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and, you know, having someone swerve into his lane and collide with him.
This happens sometimes.
So, it does happen.
Yeah. Now, why this particular Officer Payne got interested, that's still a mystery for me.
It is a mystery.
Yeah.
And what's more a mystery is why someone who's supposed to uphold the Constitution, protect and serve the citizens, is blatantly violating the Constitution, according to the Supreme Court.
Perhaps that's not what they wanted to do.
No, perhaps it's not really what they're here for.
I agree. Freedom Feet.
Wow. See you in the next hour.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion canyon, high atop Financial Feast Plaza on the artificial satellite, Libpard 2017. In the Alpha Centauri region, please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments or their agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Beginning the second hour, you ready to touch on the awful video you just watched, James?
Yes, we can touch on the awful video I just watched. So continuing on from the last hour talking about this hero nurse and Alex Wubble sticking up for her patient's rights to not have a blood draw taken without a warrant, without consent, without him being even accused of a crime. And but what led up to this incident happening was a car accident that took place at on July 26th at about 2 p.m. where the patient was driving a semi truck on State Road 8991, and there was a man who was fleeing from the Utah Highway Patrol and ended up crashing his pickup truck into the semi truck driver head on. And the crash, of course, caused a giant fire, giant explosion, and the patient, he was actually on fire when he exited the semi. The guy was on fire as he exited the semi truck after this car accident. The driver of the pickup truck, who was fleeing from the police at the time, died on the scene.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you drive into a semi.
Mm-hmm. And this was apparently over him. He was driving. There were reports of him driving recklessly. And Utah Highway Patrol decided to, of course, you see a guy driving recklessly. So what are we going to do? We're going to chase him down and make him drive even faster and more recklessly. There comes a point when you got to realize that maybe you're making the situation a little bit worse.
I think it's different in jolly old England with the bobby boys who just would chase you down, but they would never exceed the speed limit, and they'll just gonna radio coordinate. But maybe that was back in the day. Maybe they're just as brutal as what seems to be going on in the mainland USA.
Mm-hmm.
And over here on the islands too, by the way, in case you didn't know, this is also like that.
It's amazing, they'll say you're driving without a seatbelt, so what are they gonna do? They're gonna pull a 180 in the middle of traffic. You drive at 120 miles an hour, speeding, flying through traffic to come and get you for your safety. all for your safety to give you a ticket. But you have a guy who was driving recklessly, and the police seem to exacerbate the situation a little bit by having a high-speed pursuit, which ended up leading to the guy's death and the injury of this truck driver, who's now hopefully he lived from what. So luckily the guy who was just driving his truck trying to make a living pulls through and everything's fine for him. And it's especially good that he had his rights stuck up for him. But it's just crazy. It's just crazy to see this video of, what the police turned a guy who, when they say reckless driving, too. You know, that just means he's speeding a lot of times. You know, they like to say if you're driving more than 20 miles an hour on a highway, you're recklessly driving, right? That's what they say.
Well, so. That's what those people are saying. Now, I would rather have a different security services besides this monopoly police service. I would rather have more options. I mean, I could think of several different options. You know, I want all the options, basically. I want everything the same way as I get shoes, as I get security, basically. Mm-hmm. So I can go to a free box and I can get shoes, like the free box at the local colleges here. I could go to Ross, Dress for Less, and I could get $10 shoes. I could go to Walmart and get $20 shoes. I could go and get definitely, you know, some higher price type of shoes on the internet. I can get extremely expensive things on the internet in terms of shoes. I have all those options, and I can choose. And that's how I want my security. I want the free stuff that comes automatically, and I want to then pay for higher and higher levels to actually get real services. But the thing is, this is the government dished out services. So the governments of the world have dished out to their security forces, which include the polices that are inside those countries. These tax farms, they have these soldiers, right? And they literally train them in such a way as they're traumatized, so they're at war. That's why you have someone like this Officer Payne who does this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are, as far as I can tell, James, only hurt people can hurt people, you know. I mean, it takes a real hurting. Like, I don't know how many video games that are violent that you play over there, but, like, no matter how many people that you shoot with an Xbox game, in the reality is you're never going to really probably shoot a person. Mm-hmm. Even given, you know, being someone who likes being armed, you still won't really shoot someone because you know. You just don't want to do it, you know. But sometimes traumatic incidents, they sort of infect these people to want them to replay these events. That's my opinion. And I'd rather have a plurality of services that are all in competition so that I could choose for the free and the cheap and the medium and the expensive version. How would you want to do it, James?
Oh, I look at the police force is completely unnecessary.
Well, I mean, so do you want to just provide your own security, or in this beautiful agorist future?
If you look at the history of, you know, policing, we didn't have police officers up until a couple hundred years ago. They did not exist. There was no such thing. It's obviously unnecessary. And, you know, the history of police officers is one of, it's craziness, really. You know, your neighborhood watch would be a much better situation. You know, stuff like that. I feel that a mutual aid situation is a much better way to provide, you know, for the common defense of a community than, you know, hiring out someone to do something full time. I really am just completely fond of, like, applications like Cell 411, and there's been a couple others, like, I forget what the other one was. There was another one, Peacekeeper. There's been a number of apps that have been developed that I am just absolutely just, I love. The idea where if you're in trouble, you call your emergency contact list. You call the people in your area that know you, that can come and help you in a situation where you need help.
And you call them right away with one touch.
You call them right away with one touch, where it's people who know you, people who aren't strangers to you, who know that that's your home. They're not going to come and shoot you or anything like that. They're not going to come harass you. There's going to be none of that. There are people who know you coming to your defense. I think that strong communities make a police force obsolete. And that's really what I love about, you know, what these, like, applications like Cell 411 can do for the future. And I really hope that there's more applications like this that get developed and it gets more and more efficient. And that would be amazing to see a world where we can replace all, you know, police with, you know, a cell phone app, a cell phone app and mutual aid.
So you're just saying that we can just Uberize the world, and then everything will be much better? Is that it?
Uberize the world, I guess you could put it that way.
Okay.
Well, Uberize the world. Technology will make, mutual aid much more effective in the common defense department. You know, who would you rather, show up? Let me just add, who would you rather show up? If you're in need of help, would you rather have someone who has no clue who you are, has no clue about you, who might make a really poor judgment call in the heat of a situation? Or would you rather, your neighbor come to your defense? Would you rather your friends come to your defense? You know, of course you'd rather have your friends. Of course you'd rather have your neighbor. I don't mean to speak for you, I guess, but let's say, who would you rather have?
I want everyone in my community to be trained to do all kinds of things, including the safety and security of everyone in the community, It's kind of like that service where, I was at the ocean just yesterday, and there's a whole ohana, that means family, over here, all playing, all different ages and such, at canopies and such. And I imagine the world where I could walk over and I'm strapped and armed, and they are too, and I'm just saying, hey, I'm just over here with my girlfriend and we're hanging out, and I'll do security over here and you do security over there, and we'll all be good like that. We trade cards, and that's the kind of world where I want, where we all take in account that no one draws down, no one does crazy, threatening, dangerous things, because we have the power. We have the power of defense. We have the power of video and uplink, live audio uplink, live video uplink. We have the power of keeping each other accountable, and we have the power to create the security that we want. And that's the world that I'm aiming to go towards, instead of the people who just want to leave it to the certified professionals, And that's the danger, right? We covered that in the first hour.
It is the danger. Because when you have a standing police force, they're going to be out looking for stuff. They're going to be out looking for, something to do.
Exactly.
They're
paid to do so.
That's what they're paid to do, And, of course, they're going to want to make sure that they're able to get their fancy budgets and all that kind of stuff. So having a standing police force is detrimental to security, because having a standing police force, it is within your profit motive now to have more crime that you can solve, to make your budget grow up, to make you more valuable to people. So, it's detrimental to safety to have a standing police force. It's probably the most detrimental thing to the security and safety of people.
Get rid of standing police force.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Well, you look at when police officers and stuff, when this police forces were created, it was originally it was pure evil, really, originally. It was pure evil.
You mean the gangsters that rose up right at the exact same moment of the first ordained police officers in these big Eastern Coast cities?
I'm talking about in the South, when the first slave patrols were formed.
Which
is really like the origin of a police force in America was the slave catcher patrols.
That's true, because the first, you know, armies and militias were never, like, directly deployed against the people within their vicinity back in the late 1700s. They'd be like, and now go harass all these people who are your neighbors and feed you.
Right, yeah.
That wouldn't work back then.
So, you know, you have, you know, before even the United States was a country, you had slave patrols formed to go in the colonies to make sure that slaves stayed being slaves and wouldn't allow them to run away, to make sure that runaway slaves get caught. And that was like the origin of the modern police force in America. Then you had also going on in the North, you had, of course, merchants would hire their own, security guards. And the merchants decided, you know what, we can save money by convincing the people that they should pay for our security. So then you had that come to be where you had in the North, and this was later, you know, this is later in the 1800s now, where in the North merchants decided to con the people into paying for the security guards that they were paying for, and created police forces then in the North. So based after the slave patrols in the South, same kind of tactics.
Wait, are you sure? Where are you getting all these stories, James? Are you just making all this up?
No, you're not. No.
I mean, did you watch just like an Adam Ruins Everything version of where the police came from, or is that where this came from?
No, I pulled it up off of this article, actually, History of Policing.
Oh, excellent!
Police History Origins. Sent it over to you.
Oh, check your email.
Yeah, so the first publicly funded organized police force full time was created in Boston in 1838. In Boston, it was a large shipping commercial center. Businesses had been hiring people to protect their property and safeguard the transport of goods from the port of Boston to other places. And the merchants decided to save money by transferring that cost of maintaining force to the citizens by conning them and making them think it was for the collective good, when really it was just to save money. And that's where you have, like, that was the turning point right there, when now all of a sudden you had your full-time, always-on-duty police force constantly patrolling. That's where that began, you know. So comes out of the slave patrols into now, you have this. And, of course, then, you know, as the labor movement grew, and then also you had, of course, immigrants coming over. You know, you had immigrants, and people were scared of immigrants. People were scared of the change, and they wanted to, you know, make America great again.
I wonder if did every single empire follow the same recipe, where first they create an extreme interest in the common people being fleeced for the purpose of paying for their own guards? Is that like a common pattern, like going back over and over again?
I mean, the
ancient Rome, like,
I mean, who paid? Yeah, of course, Greece, taxation. Like Sparta. Taxation is always, people have always been conned into paying for their own enslavement through taxation.
Well, is there a better way? Is there a way to Uberize the world?
Sell 411. Sell 411. We can do our own defense. We don't need the slave masters to provide the defense.
We'll be back after this break. Sell 411.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
Welcome back to the racially diverse Freedom Fiends. Racially perfect Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, so continue on what we were talking about there a little bit, you know. It wasn't until the late 1880s that, you know, all major cities now had a police force in America. And what really brought that about was, you know, fears of labor union organizers and immigrants coming over. Because, of course, you know, people are scared of people who look different than them. You know, and it really wasn't people that were, it wasn't even like, it was like, you know, Catholic, Irish, Italian, German people. But that scared the pants off of a lot of the, you know, the rich businessmen in the 19th century. So they demanded, you know, law and order be there to crack down on the immigrants and make sure immigrants are, you know, being good Americans and stuff like that. So, and you know, that's
what
where...
What better way than to hire actual certain former immigrants like Irish to become part of that police force.
And go
but
and
now
beat
those
up people.
Other immigrants, they're the real immigrants, you know.
Yeah, and then they go beat people down in the street.
Something,
you know,
like that.
And it was really corrupt. It was quite a corrupt system that they had in place there. Because, you know, of course the police force were now all ran by, you know, the current, you know, whoever the politician was in charge of there, pretty much ran the police force. It was very tied with politics. And so, you know, you had police officers that would actually, you know, just openly go out and crack down on, you know, opposition political parties or, you know, stuff like that. You know, like, police force were used as a weapon of the politician. And, you know, during Prohibition era, this was exacerbated quite a bit, you know, because, of course, the, you know, certain people would be able to pay off the, you know, police force to turn a blind eye to some illegal drinking and all that while cracking down on their competition and stuff like that. Stuff that still really goes on today with the Prohibition in drugs. You see stuff like that.
Didn't they used to add even... poison to alcohol, or yeah,
that's like a whole another episode we could do on that. But yes, yeah, there was during Prohibition there was times where the U.S. government poisoned the alcohol supply and led to thousands of people's deaths. But also during the Prohibition era, there, you know, the police force was there, you know, almost to make sure that certain cartels were the ones that had, or certain gangs, or whatever you want to call them. We can call them cartels because that's what we call Prohibition-era gangs now, right? Cartels. You know, yeah, certain cartels that have the run all the illegal drinking and stuff like that during Prohibition. So we see the exact same thing go on today, really. So this kind of practice of police doing that and being on the payroll of cartels is not something that's new.
Are you saying, wait, Prohibition is still going on?
Like, yeah, of course we have drug prohibition.
Oh, that. But those are naughty medicines that only smart people know how to use properly.
Well, alcohol was once a medicine too. Remember, they had during alcohol prohibition, they had medicinal alcohol.
You know, that only for thousands of years has there been medicinal alcohol? See, all these things that me and James have been just talking about or alluding to this segment is just these prohibitions are taking a commodity and it turns it into a super commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, you know, a medicine is a commodity. It's like a thing that moves around. It has value depending on how useful it is, depending on what people use it for at the time period. Obviously, if I have a 3D printer and I can print any type of molecular substance I want, suddenly the price of these things goes way down, you know? But since I don't have a molecular printer, then I, you know, obviously it takes time and effort to make and synthesize or even grow these substances. And that's what they are. They're just substances that change and alter biochemistry. And then, you know, it's an amazing thing when you can turn a little substance into illegal. And the only people who can move it with impunity, the only people who can make money on it, would be hardcore gangsters of various sorts. You know, the police who are in on the take, the gang, the local mob who's in on the take, and of course the military and government who's in on the take.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's so unfortunate how large the cockroaches are over here.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That is unfortunate, but I'm sorry to derail. That's just what I wanted to say.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. You know, you see the police force has really made it to where, and then, you know, that's why I think, you know, things like prohibition, the police love it. You know, the police unions are always going on about how we need to be, you know, hard on crime and increase laws and make it so they get their fancy budgets. And what do they spend time doing? They spend time enforcing drug law. And I mean, there's even programs that I've seen that the police have offered, you know, where it's like, they'll put an ad in the newspaper asking for drug dealers to turn in their competition. You know?
Wow.
Like,
wait,
it's crazy.
We just covered that in the first hour. We have a general non-snitch approach to life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. That's the most important thing, is you gotta have a general non-snitch approach. But police love snitches, apparently. So, that's, of course, you know, it makes their job easier. But, you know, This is what we have. You know, when you have a standing police force, you have things like prohibition. You have these evils that come about due to having, you know, the police need something to do. Let's have them enforce prohibition because prohibition makes us money, because then we can, you know, pay off the police and sell illegal, you know. Come on. Let's follow the money here, people.
It's all
out in the open. With alcohol, with the alcohol prohibition, you know, we know exactly what went down during alcohol prohibition now. You know, we figured it out. History, we can learn from history and then look at the parallels of today's society and ask yourself, like, hey, I wonder if that same kind of stuff is still going on.
Well, you know, if it just voted properly and counted the votes properly and Bernie was there, this would not be a problem.
Here's how we can still win.
Donate now to my little bird on the podium. This little army drone is really beautiful. Came in handy. You know? That's my opinion. But no, some people, they're not going to study history, James. They're not going to go back and look at the history of prohibition. They're actually kind of afraid. They'd rather, you know, to get that security by giving up liberty, you know. Sad. And then what was that quote from Franklin who said, then you deserve neither?
Yeah, it was those who give up liberty for security deserve neither. Paraphrasing.
You will get neither for sure, you know.
Paraphrasing a little bit there.
Yeah, it's just so. That's the general theme. There's going to be people who actually see the history of where did these things come from and where they go to. For me, it's just the history of monopolies. Anytime you have just one provider of a good or service, that's it. It eventually is going to become quite the tyrannical force in life in general. As much as it can, it has to sneak up at a certain period of time, like health insurance, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible anyone listening either thought of having health insurance or actually is doing the trauma of paying for it, you know. That's pretty crazy right now compared to, say, auto insurance, which is fairly simple and actually kind of affordable even. you know.
Well, it depends on where you live.
It's true. I didn't understand what is the Michigan scenario of
auto insurance. We have mandatory no-fault insurance, so our insurance premiums are pretty high for auto insurance here.
Mandatory no-fault.
Yes.
So does that mean, but that's not like comprehensive, like it fixes your car.
No, it means that there's no fault determined in the car accident. It's always not your fault. There's no fault.
It's always not your fault.
there's no fault. So the because in many cases where insurance will be determined based on if an accident's your fault or if it's not your fault and stuff like that, where they'll have certain coverages depending on that. In Michigan, we don't have that. It's always not your fault.
It's always not your fault. I could have used that as a childhood.
It causes insurance premiums to go up, especially since that's, state mandated.
Oh. Everyone pays for, it's no one's fault. We've all agreed to pay that it's no one's fault.
Yep.
that type of attitude is really incredible. Like, that could just sort of sneak on by, like, people like to say, our alleged representatives just voted in that we're all going to pay extra because it's no one's fault.
Yeah, it's not our fault.
Yeah. In the olden days, the people who actually caused the problem paid for it one way or another. But now we have a new idea of it's no one's fault.
But that's just, that's just the insurance. And then you have, of course, the court system, which still operates that it is someone's fault.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I just learned a new thing about this. I just pay for liability. All the states I've lived in, I've just paid for liability. Means that if it is my fault, my insurance covers it.
Yeah.
And the other person has liability too. So if it's their fault, their insurance covers it.
No, like see, that. My insurance covers it either way.
Right, because no one actually, is allowed to say whose fault it is.
Yeah, it's no one's fault.
I want to to sort of meld no fault ideology with the rest of my life in various other arenas, go on a no fault diet, with no consequences or something, or maybe, a no fault dating service, something like where there's absolutely no consequences for whatever
fault. You gotta have no fault. Yeah. You gotta pay a premium for that, especially when it's state mandated,
especially when it's state mandated and date mandated, for
no fault insurance wouldn't be a bad idea, as like an upgrade, but mandatory, of course, it drives premiums up. It's mandatory anything.
We'll be back with some redemption. Freedom fee.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback, and for the first time, on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends-related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Here. Yeah. What can you redeem us with, James?
Let's redeem us with The cryptocurrency sale. Yay! Everything's on sale. Except for Tether for some reason.
Yeah, and is Ripple still strong? Anyway,
Ripple's on sale.
It's back down again. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. It's below 22 cents. All right.
Yep.
So, cryptocurrencies include such technology like Bitcoin. These are units of value. They actually are assets with applications, like smartphones have applications and dumb phones of the 19th century. The 20th century did not. So that's what we're talking about. And recently, you know, prices go up, prices go down. This is an extremely volatile network. So prices are down, which means it's time to buy. Or if you're a panicked newbie and you think you're losing value, you're crazy and you're selling stuff right now. And I'm sorry for you. I'm really sorry, because this is not the type of marketplace in the Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, cryptocurrency world. This is not the place to be nervous and do the opposite of sanity, which is to sell when things go down and buy when things go up, you know?
No, it's this is time to buy.
Time to buy. If you have fiat currency, if you have the way, if you have the means, just like the A-team, maybe you can hire yourself some cryptocurrency. You can do it. And that's part of decentralizing the world. You know, we're just basically trying to... What if every one of us could just basically be a bank, a Chase, a Citi, a Morgan Stanley? If all of us had the power of wallets that basically can't be shut down by a government? Is that true, that these cryptocurrency wallets can't be shut down?
Depending. I mean, if it's on your computer, if it's open source, it's yours.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? From my cold, dead brain wallet. I mean, with a lot of these cryptocurrencies, you can just store them right in your brain. You can memorize a string of words and... You're good to go.
12 words, 24 words. Yeah, you can memorize that.
And you can store that right in your brain, where you can walk around with your cryptocurrency in your brain. I mean, good luck trying to take that from you.
No, it's going to be like right now, people are crossing international boundaries, international so-called borders, with millions of dollars worth of these units that just can translate into, what would you say, like hundreds of millions of different goods and services across the world at this point?
It's amazing.
At this point. Yeah. And then, so there's all these people I talk to who, of course, haven't heard of Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. And here we are in this world right now. Like, this is the Uberization of the whole world. You know, everything is being unplugged, decentralized, and what's happening to... You know, things like Blockbuster Video.
Yep, they're going away.
What happened to Betamax tapes?
You know? Betamax tapes go in the way of the Federal Reserve note. That's what's next. We're getting rid of government dollars. Where cryptocurrency is the future.
So, do you have any crypto shout outs that you'd like to do right now? To any specific tokens or any specific suggestions you have for anyone?
I don't think I want to give any investment advice on the air, I guess. I don't really want to cross that line. But always got a shout out to Bitcoin. That's the original first market advantage. Love Bitcoin. It changed the world. It absolutely changed the world. Without Bitcoin, none of this would be possible. And it's just amazing. It's amazing stuff.
It's a powerful technology, and if you don't understand what decentralized means, or open source means, or peer-to-peer means, or encrypted means, then, you know, I'm not going to explain it to you in the next, 30 seconds. Because we are the Freedom Fiends, and it's been a royal honor to speak to all of you truckers out there who did not crash, and you actually got home. All the people fixing their Chevy late at night out there across the mainland. It's been an honor to speak out to you. And it's been great to be with you too, James.
Great show.
Yeah. And that was something. That was our redemption. Just invest, please.
Worms.
Worms.